This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been watching Texas football for probably 30 years, and I've been locked in. I was Shea Morenz for Halloween. That's how far back I go. Pre-James Brown, I was Shea Morenz for Halloween as a kid. And I got to tell you, I've endured a lot of heartbreak as a Texas fan. I've watched this football team at its lowest. I've had to sit through many ass whoopings at the Red River Shootout. My dad never let me leave when Bob Stoops would put it on him. I was at the Big 12 championship game when Colorado beat Texas. I was at the national championship game when Colt McCoy got injured against Alabama. I could list many games that I've witnessed in person, on TV, etc. I've been locked into every Texas game for the better part of three decades now. I've got to tell you, that loss to TCU is one of the most pathetic, embarrassing losses that I've ever watched. I don't know what the deal is with Steve Sarkisian's offense, but something has got to change. And I don't think, I'm not going to sit here and say that Steve Sarkisian should be fired. I'm not going to say that. But something has got to change with this offense. Whether it's quarterback development, whether it's getting better players in, whether it's maybe figuring out what's up with the way in which the offense is called, something's got to change because there's no excuse for the University of effing Texas to be the only team this year to not score an offensive touchdown against TCU. Tarleton scored 17 points against TCU. No Big 12 team has scored less than 24. It's a joke. It's inexcusable. There's multiple reasons. There's plenty of reasons to go around, but it's also a disturbing trend that has happened with Steve Sarkisian when it comes to the offense falling apart at certain times in Big 12 play. You look at this three-game stretch that we talked about before this game. We talked about the tough stretch against Oklahoma State, against Kansas State, and against TCU. That's six halves of football right there. Six halves of football. In four of those six, they've scored 3 points or less. 3 points in the second half against Oklahoma State after scoring 31. Same thing against Kansas State, 3 second-half points. 0 points in the first half against TCU. And then 3 points on offense in the second half. That's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. Quarterback was awful too. Quinn Ewers was bad. At times it looks like him and the receivers haven't met each other. But there's other things that kind of stick out as well. I don't know why Jordan Whittington has to be called upon to make plays. It seems like when desperation is going on. What's wrong with getting the ball to Jordan Whittington, the quick passes early on in the game instead of late? I heard Brian Robinson talking about this on the post game, and I agree with B-Rob. Bijan Robinson. How does Bijan Robinson have 12 carries in a game that was going like this? In this type of game. There have been nine times in Bijan Robinson's career where he's had 12 or less carries. Seven of those were with Tom Herman his freshman year. One of those was against ULM week one this year when he was resting for a large majority of the game. and you were trying to get Quinn Ewers' feet wet, and this game against TCU. Furthermore, when you're running the ball, why are you bunching guys up together so much? Like Bijan on that, there was an opportunity early on in the game when you forced TCU to go three and out. There was an opportunity early in that game to where you could just take the momentum. They went for it on fourth and one. They did the direct snap to Bijan. Bijan got stopped, but there were already two guys in front of him. What's wrong with spreading it out? 12 carries is inexcusable, though. And I get a sense that against Kansas, it's going to be the old Mack Brown, Greg Davis thing where you don't utilize your weapons, but then the very next week, Bijan Robinson has like 30 carries or something like that. You're running reverse passes with Roy Williams the week after Texas OU. Cedric Benson's getting the ball after Texas OU. That's what I get the sense is going to happen. They got to figure something out with this. Quarterback's got to figure it out. Sarkisian's got to figure it out. And they got to figure it out. Because there's no excuse for the defense to put on the performance that they put on and the offense to lay a bigger egg than Tarleton did against TCU. That's a joke. That's embarrassing. That's pathetic. And it's almost as pathetic as the suit that Steve Sarkisian wore to the game. Man, if you're going to wear that suit, you got to bring it, man. You got to bring it. You got to bring it a lot better than that if you're going to wear that suit. My goodness. Just an absolute disgrace. The feel of Sark, too, is something that I'm starting to question. Saw it against OU last year where he wanted to be aggressive. Then he gets down inside the red zone. He gets conservative. You saw it against Baylor. Like, sometimes the feel that Sark has is just kind of troubling. And I'm not saying it's something that's going to be permanent. It's just he's got to grow as a coach. I feel like the talent is going to increase. But Steve Sarkisian's got to grow as a coach. He's got to get a better feel of things. Like in the first half of this game, you probably shouldn't have taken it to the house. I heard him say, well, we didn't want to give them any momentum. Well, TCU had the ball inside the 50 four straight possessions, and they didn't get a single point. So trust your defense a little bit. That was the only rhythm that you showed as an offense. And you know what you told your offense when you decided to take it to the house instead of trying to go get the 3 points? You told your offense, we don't believe in you. That's what you told them. Take it to the house. We don't believe in you. Same offense that in the second half of games is scoring 3 points a game in the two previous games. So it's not like you have some great second half offense. When you get to midfield, fourth and one, maybe hurry up and try to get the first down. You don't trust Bijan Robinson to get a yard? I mean, I know he didn't earlier in the game, but you got to trust him at some point. It's just inexcusable. And the rushing the punt, that was another thing. There were two moments in this game where I was talking to myself as I was watching the game, and I was actually talking to the TV. You know what lunatics do when they watch games. I'm a lunatic when I watch Texas games. On the second and two, where Ewers threw the long interception, I was saying run the ball. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. You got a rhythm. They throw a deep ball, interception TCU. That was one of the turnovers they had. On the roughing the punter on the fourth and three, what are you trying to block the punt for? Why? You've already and I know that a block punt can turn things around, but you've already run into that punter twice. One time it should have been a roughing and they called it a running into. Another time you got away with it. So you already got signs that you're getting too aggressive with the punter. Why not just return it in a 7-point game and go win it? Because right after that, they score on you on the busted coverage. Sark's got to figure it out. He's really got to figure it out. And I don't think Quinn Ewers should be benched for any reason. I think Ewers has got to figure it out himself. I don't know if it's rust. I don't know if he's not on the same page with his receivers. Maybe he's not what we hoped he would be. But from this point forward, you've got to ride it out with Quinn Ewers. There's no situation where you bench Ewers. You leave him out there, you try to figure stuff out. And the crazy thing is there are a couple things this week looking at the Big 12 schedule where if a couple things go in your favor, you can maybe back your way into the Big 12 championship game. Won't hold my breath, but stranger things have happened than, you know, Kansas State losing at West Virginia and Oklahoma State. They're actually an underdog at OU. So maybe OU and West Virginia can help you out and give you some breathing room. But you gotta coach better than this. You gotta play better than this. There's no excuse for this offense to do that. There's some really good players on this team, and the talent's only gonna get better. That's the other thing about this. And you almost feel dirty as a Texas fan watching these games. Is the craziest thing about it is that there's really not as much consequence as there used to be when you lose games like this. Because I don't think the talent level is going to drop at the University of Texas with NIL and with the way things are, with the way the atmosphere is, with the vibes, with the overall mood. Like, Texas A&M's in trouble. I mean, they got guys that don't even want to play. That transfer portal is going to be full of A&M guys. I don't think it's going to happen at Texas. I really don't. And I think they're going to have a top five recruiting class. I think the guys that are there are most likely going to stay. They're going to get some guys to transfer in, and there's really not very many consequences. So you almost feel kind of dirty, but it's also something that you look at if you are a Horns fan, and I've been one since I was born, straight into the onesie. Pop put me on in the onesie, born in Round Rock. You do find yourself kind of feeling a little bit dirty, but that's just where they are. That's just where it is. One of the worst losses post Mac Brown, but in the big scheme of things, moving forward, like for this season, it was very costly, and I think things could have been a lot better for the program had they won, obviously. But in the big picture, like next season moving forward, I don't think it's going to be too much of a consequence, but I do wonder about Steve Sarkisian, because we've got now a 2-year sample size of a guy who just really doesn't seem to have a very good feel of the game. His offense tends to disappear at times. There's some inconsistencies when it comes to the way in which he calls a game, and he's going to have to figure it out, because if he doesn't, they're going to be able to pick a coach that will be able to, and I just hope it is Sark. But man, that was nothing short of pathetic. That was nothing short of embarrassing. And quite honestly, I think it was a gutless performance by Steve Sarkisian. I think it, and it's a damn shame, because the players, they played their heart out and they left it all on the field. They showed a lot of guts. It's just too bad the coach, the only thing that he put any thought into was his suit, and it was a gutless performance. A quarterback, Quinn Ewers. Arch Manning was in attendance. I don't think there's any like threat of Arch Manning transferring. And I think Quinn can still be a really, really good quarterback. But man, if you look at a large portion of the Oklahoma State game, you look at how he looked today, or I say today, against TCU, man, he's had some really rough moments. He's had some really rough moments. The deep ball is Case McCoy-like. Like, he's clearly got the arm talent, but for whatever reason, he's not throwing the deep ball very well. Now, a lot of times he's throwing it to Worthy, and maybe he's trying to place it perfect because he doesn't think Worthy can you know, go up and get it. I don't know, but these have been some really, really ugly performances from Ewers, and he's got to figure it out. I think the extra practice from bowl eligibility, I think that'll help him. I think that'll help a lot of these guys. It'll be interesting to see who stays and who opts out. I know they got some seniors. The Bijan decision will be interesting, what he decides to do. There's talk that he might come back. I don't find it to be as crazy as a lot of people do, just because I think you're probably making good money NIL-wise here. And depending on when he's going to get drafted, I would say mid to late first round. There's obviously a larger amount of pay, but you're making pay at UT, and you could be the guy. But that'll be an interesting decision to make. But I do think the extra week of bowl eligibility will be very, very interesting. And I think they beat Kansas. I mean, I thought they were going to beat TCU, but I think they beat Kansas. And then against Baylor, who knows? That's one of the weirdest. It wouldn't shock me if Baylor beat TCU this week with how weird they are. I know that line's only at 2.5, but would it completely shock me? Not really, because Baylor's weird, and then who knows how the Horns finish the season against Baylor. But just an ugly win, just a gutless win, a gutless performance by Steve Sarkisian, and very disappointing. But the long-term effects moving forward, I'm not really feeling them that much. As far as TCU goes, I'll give TCU their credit. I thought TCU, obviously the defense looked great. I think Coach Dykes is a really good coach. Johnston's a hell of a player. Max has you know, gone through some rough patches in his time there, and he was ready to go despite not being the starter this year, and he deserves a lot of credit. I just don't think that TCU is college football playoff good. And when I say college football playoff good, it's not that I don't think they could get into the college football playoff. I just don't think they can compete with whoever's on the other side of them. And they deserve a lot of credit for what they've done, but I just don't look at that TCU team like, you know, the OU teams of the past and other teams from the Big 12 and say, you know, that team really has a chance to win the whole thing. They have a chance to get in. I look at TCU like Cincinnati, and I know TCU has owned Texas. I know TCU's been good in the Big 12, but I look at them like I look at Cincinnati last year. Cincinnati, should they be in the college football playoff? Yes. Would you bet your life against them winning a college football playoff game or winning the whole thing? Yes. So that's how I look at it. And as someone who is admittedly maybe at times an overconfident Texas fan, I just find it hard to believe that this roster, this Texas team, shouldn't beat that TCU team 9 times out of 10. And that's where the frustration with Steve Sarkisian comes in. Because there have been times where you watch UT and you say, oh, well, you know, they just don't have talent. Or, you know, they'll figure it out. They're gonna grow and develop. I think these kids are going to grow and develop, especially on offense. I think the development's going to be there. The talent's going to increase on defense to where we see significant improvements as soon as next year. But even with that said, these kids should have beat TCU. The offense should have been coached up to a point where you find a way to get Ewers comfortable. You find a way to establish a run. You find a way to show some sort of feel as to when to attack and when not to. You don't rush the punt like an idiot. Philip Geiger flashbacks there of the Big 12 title game. You figure that out. And that's the frustrating thing. That's the thing that sucks. But the sad thing about that frustration is you're almost used to it. And you get used to hyping yourself up and gassing yourself up for big games and losing them. It's just the life of a Texas fan. Hopefully it changes. It is better than it's been in recent years, which I guess you got to be grateful for. But, I mean, at some point, hopefully the bar increases. It's going to start with the coach. And I think that's the most important part of evaluation. The talent is increasing. The players are good. The players are going to continue to get good. The talent's not going to fall off because of NIL. But the biggest takeaway here, Steve Sarkisian, you got to figure some stuff out. And it looks like you're going to have to figure it out without winning a Big 12 championship unless you get some miracles, which have happened. I remember that Big 12 championship. You needed Josh Fields and Rashawn Woods to upset Oklahoma to get into that Big 12 title game. So if you can get some of those miracles, maybe you get in, but hopefully you don't wet the bed on the big stage like you did against TCU, because that was an awful loss. And hopefully, I think they will. Hopefully they beat Kansas. I think they'll beat Kansas by double digits. But hopefully you get that done, because if not, the tone's going to change a lot, and we're really going to have to wonder about Steve Sarkisian. This has been the 41 Acres Podcast. I'm Landry Locker. Follow me on Twitter at Landry Locker. Follow me on Instagram at Landry Locker. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Locker Room. I would much appreciate it. You can hear me Monday through Friday on Sports Radio 610. Sucks, but sadly I'm used to it. And the good news is there's another game on Saturday. Hook 'em.